We're going to continue with Jonah part two today, when you're waiting on God. Who here believes in the power of prayer? Almost all of you put up your hand. Who here believes in the power of prayer? You know, the power of prayer is, you know, if Jesus is our cornerstone, the cornerstone of our faith, the foundation of our faith, then prayer is the structure around it. That's how important it is as a believer, is our prayer life. It is so important to be in communication with God on a regular basis, day-to-day basis. We're going to talk about prayer today. We're going to talk about hope. We're going to be talking about unanswered prayer and what to do when you're waiting on God. Because really, a lot of the time when we pray, we're waiting on God. We're waiting to see what's going to happen. And that is a lot of our prayer life, is waiting on God. Last week, we left off with Jonah. He was running away from God, 2,500 miles away in the opposite direction of where he was previously, or where he was supposed to go. And we have him in a boat, the storm's raging, the men start casting lots to see who is responsible for this outrageous storm, and it lands on Jonah, and Jonah confesses that, hey, you know, yeah, it's me, but if you toss me into the ocean, the sea is going to calm down. And the men didn't want to do this. They're like, no, we don't want to do this. But eventually, they had to. They threw Jonah into the ocean, and the sea calms down. And that's where we are right now. So Jonah 1, 16, verses 17 says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. How many of you can look back in your life and say, I've been in a fish now? Nobody. How many of those can look back in their life, they had a problem, and they thought things were going good, and then they jump into something even worse? I don't know how many times I could say that about my life. It's like there's a problem going on, and I turn a corner, and then all of a sudden, it's worse. And we have Jonah here. You know, he's running away from God, middle of the storm, and then he's landed now in the ocean, and a fish has now swallowed him up. And I take a look at my life and I go, wow, there's been a lot of times where sometimes God has you right where he wants you. Yeah. And at the same time, this was a provision by God. This fish was provided by God for Jonah. And a lot of the time we see a problem and we don't recognize it's God actually providing it, because solutions to our problems don't always look like what we are looking for. And a lot of the time, we need to try to see God in the area of our life in a solution to the problem, but sometimes we only see a problem and not a solution. So God promises to provide what we need, not what we want. And a lot of the time, God helps us through a storm, doesn't necessarily pulls us out of the storm, but he helps us through it. And I think most of us in our lives can attest to God helping us through a storm, even if the storm is sometimes caused by our own stupidity. And we're going through a storm and we realize, you know, if I was listening to God, that probably wouldn't have happened. But God's gracious. And he will take us through these storms no matter what happens. No matter what we've done in our life, he will take us through that storm because he loves us. Last week, Claudio quoted this awesome verse, or this awesome quote, I should say, quoted a quote. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. It's so true. It's like, oh, you want to get away from God? I've got every possible transportation and ticket that you could possibly want, and you can have it for free. Because that is what he doesn't want you getting closer to God in the midst of trouble. He wants you to run away like Jonah. So the devil is right there with his arms open and saying, here you go. Go right ahead. Let me help you with it. Now, if we take a look at the life of Jesus for a second, and he modeled prayer. He modeled prayer so much the disciples asked him, how do we pray? Teach us how to pray. And I'm thinking about this as I'm writing the sermon and I'm looking at the life of Jesus and how he prays so much. And I'm going, of all the people that have ever lived on this earth, Jesus, probably the one person who didn't need to pray as much as he did, and he prayed a lot. So what does that say about us? How much more do we need to pray? If Jesus modeled prayer, then we should be upping it up, or upping our prayer life up as his example. James 5:13, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Philippians. I always say Philippines. I just want to go to the Philippines. Philippians. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, I don't know about you. If I was stuck in a fish, I would be pretty anxious. I don't think I would be able to quote this verse and say, be anxious for nothing. God, I'm in a fish. How can I not be anxious? But Paul is saying here is he wants you to focus on the person who can save us, the person who brings us life. He wants us to focus not on the trouble, but he wants us to focus on his presence and who he is. Not necessarily what he can do for you, but on who he is. A lot of the time, that is a hard thing to do. It's easy to say, quote the verse, you know, be anxious for nothing and just pray about everything. Yeah, that's easy to say, but when you're in trouble, none of these verses are even the first thing in your mind. They just go out the window. And, you know, Paul even says, you know, you should be going on Facebook and texting everybody and telling everybody your problems. You know, he told you to get together with a bunch of people and tell them about all the issues that you're having in your life and you know, cry about them and tell the entire world that your problems are so big right now and you don't know what to do about them. No, he didn't say that. It's time to pray. Paul is saying it's time to pray. You're going to run into these times in our lives where things seem to be like the worst thing this has ever happened to you. It was worse than the last time something happened to you. But Paul is saying to pray about it. Concentrate on who God is. Bring your life into his focus and his love and his grace. Prayer needs to be the first course of action, not the last. Not the last resort. And sadly, a lot of the times, our Christian life, the most intent times we have to pray is when something's going on in our life. And we use that time to really fast and pray all the time during the time of trouble. But what would it look like if we cultivated a prayer time daily, and then in the midst of circumstance, it's easy just to go to God, I don't know why this is going on in my life, but I know that you've got a solution, and I know that you are going to work this out no matter what it looks like. You know, I don't think Jonah knew that the fish was provision. I don't think at this point, prospectively, that this fish, that he knew that, oh yeah, this is God's idea, I'm in a fish. Like, that is, I don't think that crossed his mind at this point in time. Honestly, with what Jonah did, running away from God, knowing he was being disobedient, jumping into an ocean and a fish comes along, I would think of as God is punishing me. I would think that God is actually angry at me and punishing me for being disobedient. But I want to tell you something right now. If you're here today, there is a big difference between God's punishment and God's chastisement. Because if you are a child of God, he doesn't punish you. He corrects you and he will help you change your direction. And he will lovingly move you into a place and he might even keep you in a place until you get it. But he is doing it because he loves you. And there's a difference between a punishment and a correction. So if you today think that you've done something in your life and that you're living out a punishment because you think God is punishing you for being disobedient, that is a lie from hell. God does not punish you because you've done something wrong. He will correct you, absolutely, because he chastises the ones he loves. It's a correction. He's trying to turn you around to look at him, to go in the direction that he wants you to go in. We don't always see where prayer leads. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. We don't know what to pray half the time. And that's okay, because God's got his word. God has his word. If you don't know what to pray, pray God's promises over your life. Pray his truth. Pray his provision. Pray his goodness. Pray his mercy. Pray his grace over your life. I believe that if Jonah heard God's voice and instead of running, he wouldn't be in the predicament he was. If he had prayed to God first and said, God, let's talk this out for a minute. But no, he ran the opposite direction, didn't pray, and just took off. And if sometimes in our lives, if we see something happen, and instead of taking off, instead of running from God, and we run towards God, our trouble will sometimes look like a mountain, but then become so much smaller when we're in his presence and under his grace. God had Jonah right where he wanted him. Let's dissect Jonah's prayer for a second here. And I'm not going to, you know, if you want to read the full prayer, you can look in Jonah 2, 3 to 9. But I don't have that up here, but we're going to dissect his prayer and take a look at what Jonah was actually praying. So the next slide there, I think, has the list of the, there we go. I don't know. Can you even see that? Yeah, you can mostly see it. So anyway, I'll read these out here. So here's Jonah. I called to the Lord and he answered me. Jonah's on the left side. And then in Psalms, it says, I call out to the Lord and he answers me. Again, deep in the realm of the dead, I called for your help. Psalms, you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. I have been banished from your sight. I am cut off from your sight. The waters closed over me. The waters have come up to my neck. Those who cling to worthless idols, I hate those who cling to worthless idols. What I have vowed, I will make good, and I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. Jonah was praying Psalms. He was praying God's word. He probably didn't know what to pray, and the Psalms, because he had read them and memorized them, he was reading in his mind, he was praying out those Psalms to God in the fish. Looking back at Jonah 2, verse 1 and 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the inside of the fish and said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. And here's the awesome thing. Jonah knew that God heard him, that his prayers was answered, but yet nothing happened. And this kind of makes me feel good, because a prophet of God heard the Lord say, or whatever he heard, how he ever heard him, he knew that God said, heard his prayer, knew that his prayer was answered, and yet a prophet of God had to wait for God's answer to show up. And so what did Jonah do? He prayed day and night. He prayed day and night. He prayed day and night, not knowing when anything was going to go, what anything was going to happen. But he knew that God heard him. Are you waiting on God today? Are you waiting? Do you have prayers that you're waiting on God to answer? Next slide here. Don't let circumstances drown your prayer life. Instead, drown your circumstances in prayer. This is something, a motto that you could live out, because circumstances are a part of life. Every day something comes up. Every day there's a circumstance. It could be in maybe not immediately for you, but in a family member or somewhere or whatever. There is always a circumstance that we can pray over. Rather than letting our circumstance become part of us, we pray over our circumstance so that we are praying in line with what God wants for us. God wants you to pray. God wants you to be connected with him. And here's the thing. When we're praying, do we believe that the words of God are true? Do we actually believe what we're praying is life and truth? Do we believe it, or are we saying it because it's the Christian thing to do? Are we thinking, oh, well, I better pray because this came up? Or are we actually believing what we're praying? Are we living in the moment of prayer, connecting with God and his heart? Because a lot of the time, I think we have empty prayers out of fear. And when we pray out of fear, that's not faith. That's just praying and hoping it goes away. We need to cultivate a relationship with God so that when we're praying and situations come up, fear isn't the first thing that comes in. It's, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know that you have a plan. We can be afraid. It's not ignoring our fear, but it's knowing that we have something more that we can hope in. Jonah 2:9. But I will offer sacrifices to you with song and praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. A sacrifice of praise. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you're scared, even if you have fear and doubt, a sacrifice of praise is ignoring how you feel and praising God anyway. Ignoring the circumstance, ignoring everything that's going around you or on around you, but you're praying and giving a sacrifice. You're putting aside your feelings and saying, God, I will praise you and worship you no matter what. When nothing seems to be happening, when nothing's going on, when you don't feel like your prayers are being answered, praise him anyway. Worship him anyway. When everything is falling apart, praise him and worship him anyway. When things are getting worse, thank God that you're his child and that he looks after you. Praise God that you know him and that you actually have a God that you can praise and worship. Praying in the Spirit is another way. When we're waiting on God, praying in the Spirit is another way if you don't know how to pray. Romans 8:25 to 27 says, but if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groans that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Sometimes we think we know what to pray for, but God knows what we need to pray for. And isn't it better to align our prayers with what he wants to pray for? And so sometimes we have to quiet ourselves, don't look at what's going on, and pray and say, Lord, help me to pray what you want me to pray. Help me to pray what you have in mind. Help me to pray out what your word is doing, what your will. Help me to align with your will. Faith is not hoping that God's word is going to do something. Faith is knowing that God's word is a done deal. It's confidence in God's word. As believers, we have a hope built on confidence in truth, established in truth. That's where our faith is. It's a confidence in hope. It's not a hope that we hope that the Vancouver Canucks are someday ever going to win the Stanley Cup. That is false hope, you know. And if Claudia was here, I would say this: the Calgary Flames, because, you know, that's putting your hope in something that may or may not happen. It's not a maybe. Our faith is not a maybe. Our hope is not based in a maybe it will happen. Our hope is based in someone who is true, someone who is real. Jonah 2:10. Jonah prayed and prayed and prayed, waiting in anticipation. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and he vomited Jonah out onto dry land. Let me just tell you, I do not think Jonah was anticipating that. I don't think that was something that Jonah thought was going to happen. But it did. And it was gross. And There's not a lot of verses about vomit in the Bible, but all of them are gross. And here's Jonah, got his prayer answered, not in the way that he expected it to be answered. Maybe he thought that, you know, the fish would open his mouth and angels would guide him out of his mouth onto the dry land and, you know. But no, it was just bleh, that was it. That was Jonah's answered prayer. We don't always see prayer answered in the way that we expect angels to come down and rescue us out of that. And we get a word at our bedside from the Lord Jesus himself showing up to say, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. We got it. We're cool. This is not how it happens. If we knew the plan and the timing of God, we wouldn't need faith. If we knew everything that was going on in our life to say that, oh yeah, hey, this problem just showed up, but you know what? God showed me a vision and I don't have to worry about it because, you know, and I don't even need to pray because I know what's going to happen. No, he wants us to have faith in who he is. He wants us to pray and connect with him, connect with his heart. He doesn't want us to know everything that's going on all the time. He might give us little tiny nuggets. He might give us little tiny snippets of what might be possible. So he's asking you to trust him and put your faith in him and be anticipation in the prayer that you're praying. Don't do a half-hearted prayer where, well, I don't know if you want this to happen, God, or not, and I, you know, just hope it happens. No, he wants you to stand firm in prayer no matter what is going on. And just thinking about this now, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing with the furnace being up, hotter than it ever had been before. And they said to they just said that even if our God doesn't save us, we're not going to bow down to that. Even if the circumstance looks all too bleak, don't bow down to doubt. Stand in faith. Stand with true faith in him, because it doesn't matter what happens, your belief and standing in God is bigger than anything else that can happen in your life. God could have spoken to Jonah and told him the whole thing. He was a prophet of God. God could have told him the entire outcome, but he didn't. We can't make God's plan move any faster. We can't will God's will to move. Our prayers don't move God to do anything. Our prayers are there to connect with God's heart, to know his will, his plan, and what he wants for your life, because you're his child. He's not leaving you alone. He's not punishing you. He might be correcting you, but he loves you and he's helping you see and direct you. For my salvation comes from the Lord. For my salvation comes from the Lord. What does salvation mean? Saved, healed, delivered, set free. It means so many different things. Salvation is huge. Don't expect anything less than salvation from God. In the power of prayer, don't expect anything less than the power of prayer. Don't expect anything less than who God is. Jonah didn't deserve being saved, but God saved him. Jonah didn't deserve the mercy and the grace running away 2,500 miles in the opposite direction, but God did. God saved him. Jonah couldn't save him. Jonah couldn't save himself. We can't save ourselves. God does it. So, challenging question for you this morning. What comes out of you when trouble hits? Fear and doubt? Or prayer and praise? Anticipation, expecting the goodness of God. Not expecting what could happen, but expecting what could happen with God. So, are you running from God today? Are you here and running from God? Or have you run from God in an area of your life? Have you been thinking about running from God? Are you thinking that God has been punishing you for something that you did because you did something wrong? We already exposed that lie. We know that God loves us. He loves his children. Are you here today in trouble? Are you here today waiting on God in prayer? Well, you're in the right place. So today, before you go, if you're in trouble, if you need prayer, find somebody you trust. I'll pray with you. Tim will pray with you. Cheryl will pray with you. Julie will pray with you. Find somebody that you trust and pray with them so we can stand in faith and stand in prayer with you today. I have one last verse before we close. And this is an awesome verse. Romans 12:12. The last verse up there. Rejoice in our confident hope. Everybody say, rejoice in your confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. In the words of Dory, just keep on swimming. Keep on swimming, keep on swimming.